Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Granthraj Srila Bhagavatama ki, Niraj Maharaj ki, Goprem Anandi. Okay. So tonight we'll continue with chapter 69, Narada visits Krishna's palaces. We'll go from verses 16 to 30. After fully worshipping the great sage of the demigods according to Vedic injunctions, Lord Krishna, who is himself the original sage Narayana, the friend of Nara, conversed with Narada, and the Lord's measured speech was as sweet as nectar. Finally, the Lord asked Narada, "What may we do for you, our Lord and Master?" So, Uddhavabandhu Prabhu, let's read
this. In this verse, the words Narayana Narasaka indicate that Krishna is himself the Supreme Lord Narayana, who appeared as the friend of the sage Nara. In other words, Lord Krishna is Rishi Purana, the original and supreme spiritual master. Nevertheless, following the Vedic injunction that a Kshatriya should worship the Brahmana, Lord Krishna happily worshipped his pure devotee, Narada Muni.
Any points?
Lord reciprocates to the pure devotees. He worships like he's worshiping Lord Shiva, Durga Devi, like that. He worships Karna also.
Yeah. Any other point?
He's speaking of that the Kshatriyas always have to worship the Brahmanas.
Yeah.
By his example.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah, so the point that's being made is that Krishna has appeared many times before. It's not the first time that he's appeared in the material world. So he's being identified as being Naranarayan Rishi. This incarnation will be spoken of later in the Bhagavatam in the next few cantos. Kids are too noisy, you have to ask them to rectify. So they have appeared many, many times. And each incarnation comes, and as the incarnation appears, different pastimes are fulfilled. So at this point in time, the demigods, Narada, the sages, the rishis, they understand that this person living in Dwarka is the Supreme Lord. He's the source of other incarnations. So Dwarka is very busy because continuously Krishna is visiting with other as Krishna is being visited by the rulers of the universe. So they're coming again and again and again to see him. And Narada is identifying that he is not an ordinary person. But he is, his incarnation is different. It's not as easy to understand Krishna's personality as the other incarnations. This particular personality, many of his pastimes appear to be human-like. The difference is that he's doing this in 16,108 places simultaneously. So it appears to be human-like, but actually it's not human-like. It's actually extraordinary. So Narada is understanding that, and he wants to see Krishna in his original form. In the form of Krishna. I mean, the original form is in Vrindavan, but he wants to see. So he's appearing there, and he's coming to see the source of all the incarnations. Now, as we've seen in this section, what is very prevalent is that Lord Krishna gets off his seat, offers the seat to Narada, and then when he offers the seat to Narada, he then begins to worship Narada, which is quite extraordinary. So this shows the position. And actually, there's a pastime in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Burujampu sometimes does the Lila Kirtan. Yeah. And he shows this particular pastime where Lord Chaitanya, he teaches us that we should drink the water which is bathe the feet of the brahmanas, or holy people, spiritual people, advanced devotees. So Chaitanya Charitamrita says there are three very potent items which will invoke bhakti in a devotee. Does anyone remember those three potent items?
Sadhu Sangha?
No, there are five. That's no. Yeah, good. Yeah, the dust. Yeah, dust from the feet of the devotees. And then what else?
Remnants.
Yeah, the remnants left by the devotees. And the?
Water.
Water which has bathed their feet. So it says these three items, the dust from the lotus feet of devotees, the remnants which have been taken by the devotees, and the water which has bathed the feet of the devotees. It says these three have great potency and they can purify the consciousness of less advanced devotees. So very powerful. So we should endeavor as much as we can to get the dust from the lotus feet of the devotees.
When we drink water, we get the dust also, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you get both.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we should endeavor. And we should also endeavor if the great personality, we bathe their feet. Then you see even Krishna, when he bathes the feet of Narada, then he sprinkles the water on the head of the residents of the palace. Right? And then also the remnants. So you should get the remnants. So we can ask the devotees for the remnants. Or you can be very subtle about it. You know, like it mentions in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kala Krishna Das. There's one devotee in Bengal. And he used to go and buy very nice bhoga. Yeah, like nice mangoes and like that. And then he would bring and offer to the devotees. So here, Prabhu brought these nice mangoes. And the devotees, oh, very nice. So the devotee would take and then offer the bhoga to the deity. And then the devotee would take the remnants, the prasad, and then in India, when you finish a meal, you get your plate and you throw it. So then he would go behind the house, Kali Krishna does, and he would take the remnants. You get the devotees to offer nice things and they would eat and then he would take the remnants. And said he did that for every devotee in Bengal. So he was traveling around, and he was taking the remnants of many devotees. And then in the future, he greatly pleased Lord Chaitanya, so much so that when Lord Chaitanya's feet were being bathed, before Lord Chaitanya went to the Jagannath temple to have darshan of Lord Jagannath, then Srib Damodar was bathing Lord Chaitanya's feet to clean his feet, and Kala Krishnadas put his hand under and drank the water. And Lord Chaitanya would not let anyone do that, because Lord Chaitanya was not in the mood of being Krishna, he was in the mood of being the devotee. So he would not let someone. But then he allowed, because he was so pleased with Kala Krishnadas, because he'd taken the remnants of so many devotees, that he allowed him to do that. So then he got to take the water. Then he took three times, then he went to get a fourth time, which Chaitanya said, that's enough. So he gave the special mercy. So this should be the mercy. So
it would be extremely humble to do that, Guruji, to go around the back of the house and take that. And she would be extremely humble to do it.
But if you understand the position of the devotees, then we'll do it. We'll try to get the remnants. So these three are very powerful. So Krishna himself is showing us. Lord Chaitanya teaches us in his pastimes. We should always be eager for these three. When you get the dust or the water from the feet or whatever, you should take. So.
Is this the same Kala Krishna Das who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rescued from Bhattacharya,
but
he's from
holding
his
hair
or something?
No, that was a
different Kala Krishna.
He might have been called Kaliya Krishna, maybe.
They sound the same names.
Yeah, similar names. It's a different person, different names. The names are not the same. One's Kala Krishna Das and the other one's they're two different people. Not the same. Any other point? Okay. Sri Narada said, O Almighty Lord, it is no surprise that you, the ruler of all worlds, show friendship for all people and yet subdue the envious, as well as we well know. You descend by your sweet will in order to bestow the highest good on this universe by maintaining and protecting it. Thus, your glories are widely sown. John Bull?
As pointed out by Srila Vishwa Chakravarti, all living beings are in fact servants of the Lord. That Acharya quotes the following verse from the Padma Purana to this year. In mantra Om, the letter A signifies Lord Vishnu, the letter U signifies the goddess Shri, and the letter M refers to the servant, who is the 25th element. The 25th element is the Jiva, the living being. Every living being is a servant of the Lord, and the Lord is a true friend of every living being. Thus, even when the Lord chastises the envious person like Jarasandha, such punishment amounts to real friendship, since both the Lord's chastisement and his blessings are the benefit of the living being.
Please go. You're setting world record. Oh my God. Two buckets. Yeah. Ask him to please enjoy it. Okay. What are the points? So this is Krishna's purpose for coming in the material world. Why does Krishna come? He says himself in Bhagavad Gita, three reasons. Destroy miscreants, deliver devotees, and re-establish Dharma. But then Prabhupada explains, Krishna doesn't need to come to do this. The only reason Krishna needs to come, paritranaya sadhana. That's the only reason he needs to come. Personally, establishing Dharma, Prabhupada even says, Krishna himself does not need to come to do that. He can send the incarnations. As we said, he's already sent many incarnations of himself. All great devotees can also establish Dharma. And killing the demons is also not necessary for Krishna himself. He does it, but he doesn't need to do it. Even when he does it, it says that's an expansion. It's not the original form who is doing that. But paritranaya sadhana means only to satisfy the devotees. So the devotees, as we said last night, was I talking about? When you leave this material world, then if you have bhava bhakti, you go to the universe where Krishna is, performing his pastimes, his lila. You go to that place. And you get trained by the pure devotees to serve Krishna. So Krishna appears in the material world, paritranaya sadhunam, for those devotees who are very advanced, to purify them further. Also, the devotees who are prema bhaktas, are the pure devotees, to reciprocate with them, their desire to be with Krishna. So he comes. And then for the sadhakas, which is all of us, he comes to purify the sadhakas. Many people, while he's here in his pastimes, they become purified and they get, they make great advancement by his association. They become purified, they may attain prema. And then sadhakas like us, who do not participate in the pastimes, then we get purified by hearing about them. Because the third chapter of the first canto says that the Bhagavatam is non-different from Lord Krishna. It is non-different from Krishna. It's a literary incarnation of God. So he performs the lila so that they're recorded in the Bhagavatam. So then we hear them, we get purified. Now, and Srila Prabhupada says, by hearing the Bhagavatam, you get all of the same benefit as directly associating with Krishna himself. But once again, it comes down to the intensity of our hearing, the absorption in the lila. If you absorb yourself in the Bhagavatam, you'll get as much benefit as directly associating with Krishna. That's an incredible statement. If you meditate on that statement, it's extremely powerful. How can you get as much benefit as directly associating with Krishna? But you can. By hearing the pastimes, they are non-different. The holy name of Krishna, Abhinitvai Nama Nominal, it's non-different from Krishna. The Bhagavatam is also non-different from Krishna. So therefore, by hearing, then we become purified. Extremely powerful. Any points? So what's the point?
I just had some.
Very deep. Any other point? Mataji, you first.
Okay. You said about the hearing, but
yeah.
The reading. About reading.
Reading, yeah.
Hearing and reading.
Yep. What about
it? Is it same as reading? Hearing is same as reading?
Yeah, if you read the seventh canto, then the verses there by Prahlad Maharaj, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam. So if you read Prabhupada's purport on Shravanam, Prabhupada says when you read that is passive hearing, and then when you hear like we are now, that is active hearing. So both are the same, non-different.
People who are in other stages of, like you said, Bhava Bhakti, if you leave the body, if you are in Bhava Bhakti,
yeah,
go back to the spiritual world. So if we are in another stage, like Ananta Nirvati or Nishta or Ruchi or something, Ashakti, what is the destination?
Then you take birth again as a devotee.
Again.
Unless you get some special mercy, then you can go back. Any other point?
Reading also should be done aloud rather than reading in the silent in the mind, right?
No, not necessarily. I don't read loud. When I read, when I'm preparing, I don't read loud, I just read. Some devotees do that, but I don't do that. Prabhupada doesn't say you have to do that. Prabhupada didn't do it himself. He read, he wasn't reading loud when he was reading, so.
I can go deep and then I read than when I hear.
More deep when you read?
Okay.
Yeah, so up to the devotees. Some devotees, they like to read, other devotees like to hear. Some devotees like to do both. As long as you do...
I like both, but I understand more when I read.
Yeah. As long as you're doing both, that's the point. Yeah. As much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Any other point? Okay. Now I have seen your feet, which grant liberation to your devotees, which even Lord Brahma and other great personalities of unfathomable intelligence can only meditate upon within their hearts, and which those who have fallen into the well of material existence resort to for deliverance. Please favor me so that I may constantly think of you as I travel about. Please grant me the power to remember you.
Lord Krishna has asked Narada, what can we do for you? And here Narada answers, Narada is a pure devotee of Lord Krishna and thus his request is sublime.
So, any points? So this is called Ashirvad. What does Ashirvad mean? Blessings. So everyone wants blessings. Ashirvad means you want blessings. You go to the great personality, you ask for blessings. And you see quite often devotees, they say, oh, Prabhu, give me your blessings, give me your blessings. I always say, what blessing do you want? What do you, is it specific? Although it's very generic. Give me your blessings, give me your blessings. What does that mean? What does it mean?
Material blessings. No,
not, not necessarily, but what does it mean? What are you specifically asking for? Yeah, but then say that. Give me your blessings, I can do more service, or, there's always like, give me your blessing. What do you want? What are you asking for? Yeah, it's personal. When you're asking for a blessing, you're asking for something specific. Give me your blessings. It's always say, oh, give me your blessing. Yeah, what do you want? What is it you want? They say, give me your blessings. I say, what do you want? They say, oh, this. I pray to Giriraj that he fulfills your desire. So that's Ashirvad, we want the blessings. So here, Narada, he is making the perfect request. What is he asking for?
Remember.
Yeah, to remember. Because what are all of the shastric injunctions governed by?
Always remember Krishna,
never forget him. So it's the perfect blessing. Everything we do all day long is meant to come to remembering Krishna. If you're doing something during the day and it's not leading to remembrance of Krishna, then why are you doing it? What is the point? Just like you go to work, you do your jobs. You don't like doing it. Hands up if you like your job. So you don't like doing it, right? So how do you remember Krishna through that? Right? One way is that when you're meditating, I wish I wasn't doing that, then you're thinking of Krishna. I wish I was serving Krishna more now. So that's one way. Another way is that when you get the phal, the fruit, you offer that to Krishna. You get the money and you offer to Krishna. And then you think of Krishna in that way. So whatever we do during the day, it's meant to help us remember Krishna. Right? If we do anything we don't remember Krishna, then why are we doing that thing? Shrama eva hi kevalam. Bhagavatam says it's useless waste of time. Don't waste time. Life is too short. Engage in as much service as you can. Okay, you have to go to work. Primarily, we go to work for what reason? To maintain our family, our children, right? So then that's devotional service. If the kids are devotees, that's devotional service. You get purified. Otherwise, what's the point? What are you doing it for? So Narada is asking for the perfect benediction, and he's showing us what we should be asking for. Whenever we ask for a blessing, then it has to be to deepen our Krishna consciousness. So we have to think, what do we want? Pray. Just like Prabhupada's father, all the sadhus would come, and he would pray to them. What was the benediction he would ask?
Rather than his blessings.
Yeah, he said, please bless, say specific. Didn't just say, oh, all the sadhus come, Prabhuji, just give me your blessings. No, he asked for something specific. Please bless my son, he will become a great devotee of Srimati Radharani. Right? So your intent has to be very specific. Right? So Narada, Krishna says, what do you want? He doesn't just say, oh, just give me your blessings. Ask for something. And then Krishna can give you that benediction. So he said, please always remember me. Jatastu. Krishna blesses him. Yes, that will be so.
What about requesting to Krishna, give me the blessing that is best for me? Because sometimes we might ask something which is not good for us. So Krishna knows what's best for us and we leave it up to him.
Yeah, you can ask for it. You can say, just to help purify me in the best way. Be in that mood when you go to Lord Nisringadev. Purify me in the best way. Any other point?
To me, it looks like that he is in a complete surrender mode, and he even asking to give me the strength. He's showing that I've got no strength. Please give me the strength to remember now. So that comes from him too.
Anything else?
Is a better blessing to ask remembrance or engage me in your loving devotional service?
Both the same.
Both the same.
Both the same. Narada then entered the palace of another of Lord Krishna's wives. My dear king, he was eager to witness the spirit. Where are they?
Upstairs.
They can't be doing that. Are they in Prabhupada's room or are they just on there? Yeah, but they can't be doing that. It's not. There's actually. I mean, they said this in the seminar on the weekend, right? Got to control the kids at the temple. It's actually an issue. Got to control the temple. Temple's a different place. Temple's not just a playground place. Keep them at home. How was that seminar?
It was number 9.
It was good. Excellent. I'm not just saying that because it was good. Narada then entered the palace of another of Lord Krishna's wives. My dear king, he was eager to witness the spiritual potency possessed by the master of all masters of mystic power. So he wanted to see Krishna's yoga maya potency. Because Yogamaya is Krishna's most powerful potency. How do you understand how powerful a person is by their potency? Because someone says something, you meet someone and they say something, then they make it happen. That shows they have power, they have potency, they have Shakti. So how do we understand Krishna's Shakti? Right? The most powerful display of his Shakti is through his Yogamaya potency. When he allows Yogamaya. So Narada is about to go into the different palaces and Krishna is in each and every single one, right? Simultaneously, completely independent. Each form is completely independent. One person, yet different. It's quite amazing. It's one person, but simultaneously doing so many different things. 16,108 different things.
Mystic,
right? Yeah, I mean, but this is like unparalleled mystic power. It is the most potent, most powerful of all people. So Narada wants to see this yoga maya potency.
Narada also saw the rasa dance, correct? Where there were millions of Krishna doing different things. So this is nothing. 16,000 is nothing.
Yeah, and rasa lila 3 billion.
I thought you were not allowed to enter. You were just remaining at the age.
Yeah, but you could see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're on the edge, you can see it. Yeah, if I'm standing on the edge of the room, I can see what's in the room. So. What do you think he was doing?
What is the meaning of entering then? What is the meaning of entering?
It means dancing.
But how could he dance there anyway?
He didn't dance, he was watching.
Okay.
Yeah. The gopis were dancing, but he could not enter. He could not dance with Krishna. He could only watch. He didn't have the qualification to dance with Krishna. Okay. There he saw the Lord playing at dice with his beloved consort and his friend Uddhava. Lord Krishna worshipped Narada by standing up, offering him a seat, and so on. And then, as if he did not know, asked him, "When did you arrive? What can needy persons like us do for those who are full in themselves? In any case, my dear Brahmana, please make my life auspicious. Thus addressed, Narada was astonished. He simply stood up silently and went to another palace.
Prabhupada explains that when Narada arrived at the second palace, Lord Krishna acted as if he did not know what had happened in the palace of Rukmani. Narada understood that Lord Krishna was simultaneously present in both palaces, performing different activities. So he simply left the palace silently in great astonishment over the Lord's activities.
Any points there?
Why did he leave silently? And why did Lord Krishna greet him?
Krishna was obviously aware of what was going on, but by the arrangement of Yoga Maya, Krishna was also absorbed in the pastime, so he felt like every time Narada moved in, came in, he was seeing him for the first time.
Yeah.
So he's Mokdata and Savagya. Mokdata means Krishna forgets. When Yogamaya wants him to forget, he forgets. So he can forget what's going on, that he's in every palace. He can just be in one palace and think he's just in one. Or Yogamaya can withdraw and then he can be Savagya, which means he knows everything which is going on.
Savagya and the other
one? Mokdata. Mokdata. It's mentioned earlier in the 10th canto, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains about it.
Is it Mok?
Yeah, Mok Data. So, Narada, he came in and he was just stunned. Can you imagine? Sri Krishna Prabhu, I think he's teaching in there, right? So you go in there and he's in there and you walk in here and he's sitting here and he's talking. And you'd be, how can that happen? He's in there. And then you go upstairs in the rooms and he's up there as well. And you go to the kitchen, he's cooking, and then he's going to the temple, he's doing the aarti and then making garland somewhere else. And then you become bewildered, what's going on? So for Narada, it's extraordinary. How can Krishna be doing all of this? So this is achincha shakti, because you're dealing with God. This is an important point to understand. God is inconceivable. Right? That's God. If you don't accept that, then you don't understand God. He is inconceivable. How can someone be so powerful that he can be everywhere simultaneously? This is the inconceivable potency of Krishna. And you have to understand this. You can't understand it, but you have to accept it if you want to understand Krishna. If you want to be a devotee, you have to accept. If you limit Krishna or say that he cannot, if you say God cannot do something, then it's no longer God. You're talking about a limited personality. But God can do anything and everything. We have to accept that. And when you accept that, then you understand Krishna's supreme position. So this is inconceivable, achincha shakti, which Narada is experiencing, and he's just completely mystified by the potencies. Any points?
The Dhammapada Vinaya Pashtan Prabhupada makes this point that Krishna always is a perfect actor. So in whatever role he does, he plays it, he actually gets into that role, like he is a complete like into this. So here also we see like Krishna was, he as but still when he was playing as with one thing, he was not aware of what's going on with the other thing. So when Arjun comes, he's showing that expression as if he's singing for the first time. So he's a perfect actor in that sense.
Any other point? This time Naradaji saw that Lord Krishna was engaged as an affectionate father petting his small children. From there he entered another palace and saw Lord Krishna preparing to take his bath. So, Mahaprabhu.
This translation is from Srila Prabhupada Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here Vishwanatha Chakravarti commanded virtually all the palaces Narayana visited, Lord Krishna worshipped and honored him.
Mm. So, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur mentions that Narad was moving at the speed of the mind, just to show his own potency. Not to show it, but I mean, it shows how powerful he is. If you can move at the speed of the mind, that means if I just think about being in that next room, and I'm there, I'm in that next room. So Narad is so powerful, he can just be. If he thinks of a place, he can just be there. So it's like, this is moving towards God's power. This is how Krishna operates. But Krishna can move at the speed of the mind everywhere simultaneously. That's unlimited Shakti and potency. So, he traveled at the speed of the mind. But everywhere he went, Krishna was there. Already. So you're dealing with some superior potency. So we see all through the 10th canto, all through the Bhagavatam, through the 10th canto, Brahma Vimohan Lila, Lord Brahma had the same experience. Right? He's there, or he's over there, or he's over there. He's like, where? Yeah. Unlimited power. And in the Rasa Lila, as we described, you know, Krishna's Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says at one point that there's only one Krishna, but he's moving so quickly between the 3 billion gopis, it appears he's in every place simultaneously. Right? So it's unlimited potency that Krishna has. And here, Narada is also doing like that. Right? Narada is entering each palace and Krishna's already there. Right? So it shows Krishna's unlimited power, God's unlimited potency. It's unlimited. You can be everywhere simultaneously and still be wherever you choose to be. And he does that in the form of Paramatma. You know, Krishna's in every single atom. Every single atom, Krishna's there. And he knows, that's how he knows everything that's going on simultaneously. So he's everywhere, but simultaneously he's in Goloka. That shows the potency of Krishna. Any points?
Is it correct to say that Krishna is everywhere and nowhere at the same time?
Yeah, he says that in the Gita. He says, everything is in me, but I am not in everything. So he says, like, contradictory statements. So yeah. He is, but he isn't. Simultaneously, that's
inconceivable potency again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's inconceivable. How can you be something and then not be that? How can you be everywhere and not be everywhere? It's like unlimited potency and power. Any other point? Okay. 24. In one place, the Lord was offering oblations into the sacrificial fires, in another, worshipping through the fire. Through the 5 Mahajagyas, in another, feeding Brahmanas, and in yet another, eating the remnants of food left by
Brahmanas.
Lila Mai?
The 5 Mahajagyas, or great sacrifices, are defined as follows: Pato Homas, Chakitinam, Sapadya, Tarpana, Bali. Reciting the Vedas, offering oblations. Into the sacrificial fire, waiting on guests, making offerings to the forefathers, and offering a share of one's food, living entities in general. Srila Prabhupada comments as follows on these sacrifices. In another palace, Krishna was found performing the Pancha Yajna sacrifice, which is compulsory for a householder. This yajna is also known as Pancha Suna. Unknowingly, everyone, specifically the householder, is committing five kinds of sinful activities. When we receive water from a water pitcher, we kill many germs that are in it. Similarly, when we use a grinding machine or take foodstuffs, we kill many germs. When sweeping the floor or igniting a fire, we kill many germs. And when we walk on the street, we kill many ants and other insects. Consciously or unconsciously, in all our different activities, we are killing. Therefore, it is incumbent upon every householder to perform the Panchasuna sacrifice to rid himself of the reactions to such sinful activities. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, in his commentary on this verse, again points out that all the different times of the day were occurring simultaneously in Lord Krishna's palaces. Thus, Narada saw a fire sacrifice, a morning ritual, and at about the same time he saw Lord Krishna feeding the Brahmanas and accepting their offerings, a noontime activity.
Any point?
So there were difference of times in all the palaces.
What's that?
Difference of times.
Yeah.
In all the palaces.
All the palaces, yeah. Yep. Anything else?
And he's showing us by this that how we should live.
Very good. Any other point? So, you see the Jain people?
Yeah.
In India, you have Jain religion. You've seen them? Yeah, because they know these things. When you light the fire to cook, when you walk, the water, when you pour the water, when you sweep the ground, different when you breathe, all these different things, you're killing. So we're accruing karma, that's the point. Even if you're vegetarian, and you only eat prasadam and you offer everything to Krishna, you're still making karma. Everything we do is making karma. Just sitting here now, I'm making karma. You know, I'm killing living entities by every time I breathe and everything. When I walk, and you know, I'm making karma all day long. So, it recommends in the Vedas, you have to destroy that karma. We don't have to worry. We're devotees, so we don't have to worry. But it says there's the Maha.
Suna sacrifice.
Yeah. Yeah, Maha Pancha Jagya. Five great sacrifices which destroy the reactions. Right? What is the first one? First sacrifice to destroy all your karma, all your reactions.
Reciting the Vedas?
Yeah, it says here. It says reciting the Vedas.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing now? Yeah, so we're destroying our karma.
Yeah.
So we don't have to do any extra thing. We just study Bhagavatam, teach. That's it. Right. Second one is?
Offering oblations in sacrificial fire.
Offering oblations in sacrificial fire means every day you do a jagya. Right. Do we do that every day?
Yes, sankirtan.
Yeah, because we do sankirtan. You get up in the morning, you chant your japa, you do kirtan, destroying all your karma. So powerful is the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Always chant. Kartik is coming, you should chant more. What's wrong? Right, Kartik is there. And chant more. Even one round of that, who cares? You should do extra chanting in Kartik. Don't do less, do more. You know, when I'm here in Melbourne, then, you know, busy, Kartik begins, and then I try to chant maybe like 20 rounds, something like that. You know, but then when I get to India, then more time is there. And you chant 32 or something like that.
Waiting on guests.
Yeah, then it says, offering a waiting on guests. Huh? That means you have to serve the guests, just like people come here to the temple. And we do seva. Serve the guests. It means preaching, looking after people. Like Bhakti Prabhu rang me yesterday, he said, bring some cow dung. Some Sai Baba temple, such a Sai temple. They asked for cow dung. Yeah, speak to Bhakti Prabhu. can you get from your farm? He rings me. Yeah, so we get some buckets, Manigrupa will collect the dung, dharma type of, and then I bring it. Yeah, seva. Yeah, and burn off our karma. Yeah, do so, look after the guests. And then they become favorable to Krishna. The Bhakta Puru makes them favorable. Yeah, then we do some service. And then?
Did you say Sai Baba? Did you say Sai Baba?
Yeah. Such a Sai.
So you can
feel
him. So you can be.
Hmm?
People say Sai Baba is not good.
I'm not a follower of Sai Baba. I just gave some cow dung to them. That's all.
But they help us a lot. But Sai Baba.
They help us?
They have the permission for the bookstore.
Yeah. So we have to keep good relationships.
Yeah.
Like that. Because then, you know, then. You know, Meenakshi says we go to their temple, they let us do some book distribution or...
No.
So they want some cow dung, give some cow dung. Serve the guests.
It's good to be everybody.
Yeah, but it means if anyone comes into the temple, we have to treat them as a guest. They're Krishna's guest. Yes. So you have to receive them. Half the time people come here, we don't even talk to them. All devotees are concentrating on themselves, the guests come in and out. Danodas Swami, one guru in ISKCON, he told me, he said he came to the Sunday feast in New York for 2 years before one devotee spoke to him. 2 years he came, Sunday feast. No one, he said, no devotee spoke. Even I've met people here. They come, I speak to them and said, oh, you know, we came here for months, no one spoke to us. Yeah. But it says here you have to receive the guests. You know, if someone comes in, we have to, these Krishna's guests, they've come to Krishna's temple, we have to receive them. Right? And then, make offerings to the forefathers. No, we have to offer to the forefathers. We don't do that. I never offer to the forefathers. You know, very occasionally. You know, my father dies or something, you make some offering, but not like regular. No. We make offering to the deity. Well, we cook at home, we offer to the deity. Right? That's our system. That's how we get purified. We don't have to do all the lesser things. When you do the important things, the lesser things are taken care of. You offer the bhoga to Krishna, all the forefathers are taken care of. Right? And then?
Offering a share of one's food.
Yeah, offering a share of one's food to living entities in general. That's interesting. It means giving prasadam even to the animals. Just like at the farm we have some dogs. Bhima, Prabhu, and Bronte, Mataji. It's some dogs like that. And my wife, she always feeds them, always looks after them. You know? She's more soft-hearted than me. I always say, oh, they'll be okay. No, she always makes sure they get prasadam. No, that's the system. You have to look after living entities. Give them prasad. Said even the dogs should be fed. Actually says in the Shastra that even the snakes should be fed. So it means all the living entities, you have to make sure they all get prasad and satisfied. Then you destroy your karma. Then you don't have to worry. But pretty much what we do in our lives means we don't have to worry about karma.
Here we are discouraged from creating the birds.
Yeah, because they pass stall everywhere. That's practical. Yeah, we have to do that. Otherwise, in the past, devotees used to feed, and so many pigeons come here, and they pass so much stool. It's a big problem. You know, up in Prabhupada's balcony, out the front there. Now, on the ledges, they have the wires and all that. Prabhu, he put all the wires and everything. Because before, you go up there, there's so much bird stool. Not nice. Yeah. Prabhupada goes out and walks there. So, we should not. Any point?
Yeah, Prabhupada also says before you take your lunch, you should ask other people to come in.
Yeah, call out prasadam 3 times. Do you do that?
Sometimes.
On your intercom? In your building? Prasadam! Come to apartment 36. That means we should regularly serve people prasad, that's what it means. Maybe we don't go out, you know, I don't go out my house every day, or, you know, even when I lived here behind the town, I didn't go out every day and call out, you know, prasadam three times, even though it says that in the Shastra. But it means you should regularly distribute prasad, that's the point. Somewhere Lord Krishna was observing the rituals for worshipping at sunset by refraining from speech and quietly chanting the Gayatri Mantra. And elsewhere he was moving about with sword and shield in the area set aside for sword practice. So it says in the morning, Krishna was practicing sword. So Krishna is showing the perfect example for human society. We have to exercise. Krishna was out there with the sword, practicing. You know, I see all the devotees, big health problems, then they have to start doing exercise. Only when they get sick, they start doing something. You know, we see all the devotees, they do like that. You know, one devotee I heard, now he's riding his bike. He goes into the city, rides his bike back and forth. Before he would, you know, just get on the tram like that. So you have to be conscious. Krishna is teaching us. In the material world, you have to do exercise. Otherwise, you get sick. See, so many devotees, they have health problems. That's good. Why? Diet and exercise. That's it. Don't eat properly, too much rich, and then no exercise. Of course, you'll get sick. In one place, Lord Gadagraja was riding on horses, elephants, and chariots. And in another place, he was resting on his bed while bards recited his glories. So, Krishna was going to bed early. So what is he teaching us? Go to bed early. Because every hour you take rest before midnight is worth 2 hours after midnight. Here in the West, not always easy to go to bed early. You know, I finish class tonight, 9 o'clock, and then by the time I get back, and sometimes nearly 10 o'clock by the time you take rest. When I go to India, I go to bed 8:30. Let's go to bed 8:30, get up 3:30, get absorbed. You know, it's hard in the West because so many distractions, and, you know, then, you know, whenever I'm getting ready for bed, then, you know, my daughter does something, and then it's like, you know, hard to. But Krishna's showing us should go to bed early. That's the system. Somewhere he was consulting with royal ministers like Uddhava. And somewhere else he was enjoying in the water, surrounded by many society girls and other young women. According to Srila Vishnu Chakravarti, Lord Krishna met with his counselors around dusk and enjoyed water sports in the afternoon. Yeah. So he's teaching us how to live. Yeah. In the afternoon, he has some relaxation. Prabhupada used to do that too. Prabhupada used to go sit in the garden. You see like that picture of Prabhupada on the Vyasasan? That's Bhaktivedanta Manor. In the afternoons, he would just go and sit in the garden and chant, and, or hear Krishna book being read. Or, you know. In the modern world, or at least in Australia, too much emphasis on work, and it's imbalanced. Start 8:30 in the morning and then finish 5:30 at night, or sometimes earlier and later. It's like, that's not natural. You know, it should be a break in the afternoon, after lunch. Should be a break. You see in India, everyone takes prasad then. Yeah, everyone crashes out. Italy is also like that. Even now in Italy, very common, 2 hour lunch break. And many people work near their home. They all go home, have good prasad, have a rest, and then Spain, they call it siesta. India, they do it. Sweden, you know, now the government made not 9 to 5 anymore, now it's 9 to 3. So feeling then afternoon have off, and people are 80% more productive. It's very artificial now, and it's having a big toll on all of us. Because we have to start early, finish late, so it's not natural. You know, Krishna was having a swim in the afternoon. That's what we should be doing. You know, just relax a bit, and then, you know, maybe then go and do a few more hours or something. That's the system. But now it's artificial, causing too many problems. Somewhere he was giving well-decorated cows to exalted brahmanas, and elsewhere he was listening to the auspicious narration of epic histories and puranas. So he's teaching us. We have to give charity. Right? There's grihastha dharma. If you don't give charity, you don't get purified. You see, if grihasthas don't give charity, then they don't get purified. You have to give charity. Your words, your intelligence, your words, your money, your intelligence, your life. These are the four things you give. So, you know, give words. If you're more surrendered, give money. If you're more surrendered, give intelligence. If you're more surrendered, give your life. There's a system where you have to give, then you get purified. And then Krishna was hearing. Prabhupada said, ISKCON sandwich. Right? In the morning, hear about Krishna. In the evening, hear about Krishna. Yeah. I've been doing this for many years. You know, the morning, like at the farm, we don't have class in the morning because we're greenhouses. You know, everyone's getting their kids ready for school. I don't go to Bhagavatam at the farm. I mean, here I go, but at the farm, but in the morning, I make sure I'm listening to lectures, right? And then I read, like that. So hearing, and then in the evening, then I read something and, you know, hear about Krishna. That's the system.
Can you give your life to somebody?
What's that?
Can you give your life to somebody?
You give your life to Krishna. Yeah. That is nice.
Yeah. How do you give?
Your life to Krishna. You move into the Brahmacharya ashram.
Spend the time of your life for his service.
Yeah, because you're living in the ashram. What are you doing? All you're doing is serving Krishna. That's you giving your life to Krishna. Somewhere Lord Krishna was found enjoying the company of a particular wife by exchanging joking words with her. Somewhere else he was found engaged along with his wife in religious ritualistic functions. Somewhere Krishna was found engaged in matters of economic development. And somewhere else he was found enjoying family life according to the regulative principles of the Shastra. So it says joking conversations take place during the night time. So it's nice. It means, it also says when you're taking prasadam, meal times, conversation should be very light. Light, joking, happy. And also at the end of the day. Right? And the beginning of the day should be light. You know, serious stuff you do in the middle part, but you have to have a break. If it's serious, especially just before you take rest, you have all serious conversation or you have an argument with your wife or something. Very hard to be peaceful. And also during prasadam, you don't talk heavy things in prasadam time. Devotees, we don't do that so much. If you're talking about Krishna, then it's okay.
But if I go into the wrong passage?
Yeah, if you need to, you can eat silently. If you need to, then you can eat silently. There are statements which say that we should practice mauna during prasad, but then for a devotee, mauna also means speaking devotional topics. So, you know, usually when I'm taking prasad, you know, we talk and we... spiritual topics. So.
Some temples have somebody reading loudly some scripture during the solemn time.
Yeah, some devotees think that's appropriate and some devotees think that's not appropriate. So I've heard some sannyasis say they don't think that's appropriate. You know, it's like kind of like forcing on everyone. You have to do this now. No, maybe you want to talk to the devotee. You haven't seen the devotee. You know, usually when I'm having prasads, when I socialize, you know, I go upstairs and, like, you know, I haven't seen devotees for a long time. Then I sit with them and have a prasad and we talk. You know, if someone's reading, you know, over the top of everyone. So, you know, some devotees, they want to do that. That's fine. But it's not like a compulsory thing. Somewhere he was sitting alone, meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is transcendental to material nature. And somewhere he was rendering menial service to his elders, offering them desirable things and reverential worship. So he was meditating on?
Himself.
Yeah. When he's in Dwarka, he thinks of Vrindavan. So it means he was meditating on himself in Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada ki.